friends. Welcome to Sky House Herbs Podcast. I'm Ashley Ellenboss, a clinical herbalist, and in this space, I share my knowledge and experience with plant medicine to help you on your own journey of healing and transformation. Join me in exploring the ancient wisdom of plant spirit medicine and how it can be used to heal the body, mind, and spirit. We'll talk to experts in the field and share stories from people who've been transformed by powerful plant allies. New episodes are released each Monday, so please subscribe. And now, let's explore this mystical world of plant medicine together. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today we'll be talking about herbs and weight loss and so much more. I'm really excited to share some of my personal story about my history with eating disorders and kind of my journey through this constant battle of weight loss, which is so prevalent in our culture. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that. I do want to say if this is a subject that is going to be too challenging to listen to, I totally get it. And that is okay. You can just stop listening now and maybe find another video that will be a little easier, you know, or maybe a little bit more helpful at this moment. So just wanted to put that out there because I know the topic of food, weight loss, and eating disorders can be a trigger. And that is not what I want to do with today's talk. So before we dive in, I do want to ask if you haven't subscribed to my channel yet, please do. It is always helpful to help me find other people and other people to find me and my work so that they can learn about herbal medicine, ways to support themselves, both physically, emotionally, and on this channel, spiritually. We talk a lot about the spirit and spirituality. And then I wanted to also mention my herbal apprenticeship program. I'm going to go over to my herb school page and just give you a quick peek into what we will be studying. So if you go to our homepage, skyhouseherbs.com. We are now enrolling students for the Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship, and the class begins on April 24th. You can join late if you need to, but better to join early and be able to stay with the cohort as we move through the different modules. So just click on the Learn More, and you'll go to the Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship page. It will tell you more about the course. And you can read some testimonials from previous students. You can learn about what we're going to study, a little bit about the vitalist tradition and approach that we take, course highlights. And just to give you a bit of an overview, we will be talking about botany, growing herbs, physiology, materia medica, phytochemistry, herbal energetics, vitalism. We'll have a whole unit on plant spirit medicine and go into individual plants. That's something that's new this year, is that we'll be spending two different modules looking at one plant at a time so that you can really get to know the herbs that you're going to be dieting or taking in. And we'll talk about the word dieting for a second because we are not going on a diet. We're using it in more of the South American term, which is to take something mindfully, to take something with consciousness, to be regular and consistent with something you are doing. And in this case, you are going to be taking two plants every month, or about every month, every 6 weeks or so, and you're going to be paying attention to those two plants. You're going to be mindfully consuming them on a regular basis as per the schedule. So just, I know the word diet is a real trigger for me too. I don't love it, but I do like the idea of reframing it in the way that we think about the way that we can take plants consistently. Okay. We also are going to be doing, you can see all the course modules here. I think we've kind of covered that. Immunity. We'll talk about using herbs with babies and children and teenagers. And here are the dates for the classes. So if you're interested, you can go down here and here is the sign up button. We have an early bird registration rate. So if you want to join us and save about $400, there's a one-time fee here. Click on 12 payments, or you can pay $99 about a month for 12 months. We also have a payment plan for the regular tuition option. And then this is something that this is like at the heart of our programs, both my programs and my husband programs, is need-based pricing. So if you are a single parent, you're on disability, you're unemployed, you know, if there's some financial hardship you're experiencing, you can apply for need-based tuition. And we have a few different levels and tiers that you can be eligible for. And that will take the tuition down significantly so that you can find either a one-time price that you can afford or a 12-month payment program that will fit in your budget. So those are available. And I would love to see some of you in the Herbal Foundations course. I love teaching and sharing the medicine of plants. And I think everyone who takes the course can find something valuable and can learn how to apply and use herbs for themselves, for their families. And I think big picture for the community. And then it just spreads. Trust me, your love and your enthusiasm and your ability to use herbs will influence others. And that is something that I feel very passionately about, is getting the herbs out. All right. So let's talk about today's topic a little bit more. Herbs and weight loss. I want to talk about weight. What is weight? Why are we so obsessed with weight? I think for me, when I think about weight, I'm of two minds. And one thing that I think is really interesting is this idea that two things can be true. It doesn't have to be either or. And I think especially when we're looking at our bodies, two things can be true. And so when we think about weight, you know, weight is on one hand, you know, the Buddha is said to be translated as the weighty one, you know, who sat under the Bodhi tree and became enlightened. And he was not like a waif paper thin dude. He had body weight on him. He was a weighty one. He was full of knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, I think that there's something about weight that if we think about it in a positive, it can be the things that ground us, the things that bring us back to the earth. You know, our weight is something that makes us human. It makes us in these physical bodies. You know, we get to experience through our senses everything because we have weight and we're weighted onto the earth, you know, and that is a gift, right? So being in our body and being weighted can be true at the same time as this idea of weight as being something that we need to manage, control, you know, manipulate. The idea of being heavy as being less attractive or bad. And I am so happy to see in social media and, you know, in the fashion industry, there is much more diversity that we start to see now with body shapes and what's considered to be attractive. But I think one of the things that we can hold two things to be true at the same time is that we can be in a body and we can be aware of our weight. You know, we can be aware of what our body is made of. We can be aware of how our body feels. We can be aware of the health of our body. And I think another thing that can be true is that weight doesn't equal health. You know, people of all different body sizes and body compositions can be healthy. And I think that's a new conversation that people are starting to understand, is that, you know, our weight is not equal to our health. If you have a lower weight, it doesn't mean that you're healthier. And, you know, I think this is something that we're, again, people are becoming more aware of these things, of what is actual health? What is vitality? How do we measure it? And is it even measurable? I mean, to me, as an herbalist, as a clinician, the health of someone, you know how I assess health? The sparkle and the twinkle in their eye. That's how I assess their health. How radiant is their ability to connect? And I think when we're having depression, when we're having anxiety, when we're having mental health struggles, the light in our eyes gets either twitchy, you know, either we get anxious and we can't hold steady the light, or we become dull and we become unable to connect to others. So when I'm looking at a client, I look at, okay, what is their ability like to connect? How present, how focused, how vibrant are they? I also look at their skin. I look at how is their tone? You know, do they look like they've got a good tone for their, you know, specific skin type and for their particular race, right? Like, what is the underlying tone? And we can see that under the eyes. We can see that in the nail beds, right? We can see that in the tongue. We look for a pink sort of vital, or we just look for good blood flow under the eyes. And for people that have darker complexions, you know, you can see it. You know, is the skin, is the complexion balanced? And that's what we want to see when we look at health. When I look for health, I also look at their voice, or I listen to their voice. What is their voice like? Does it sound like there's strength in the voice? Is it trembling? Is it weak? Is it thin? Is it, you know, right? Is there a vitality and a assurance and a confidence in the voice? And so none of this has to do with how much weight is on their physical skeletal frame. It's really these subtler ways of assessing health. And I think that's so important. And so, you know, as we're thinking about, you know, if you're listening to this because you're like, I'm worried about my weight, you know, I'm here to say, let me give you some tools and ways of thinking about weight for you to decide what is going to make you more vital and bring you to a greater space of health. Because for me, it has been quite the journey. You know, I started off in high school. I mean, I took diet pills and like, you know, yeah, I forget the name. It was like X something. Yeah, I took all sorts of diet pills in high school. I starved myself in high school. When I got to college, I became bulimic and I would eat and then I would throw up because I wanted to be skinny. I thought skinny was healthy. I thought skinny was beautiful. And those were probably some of my least healthy years because I was mentally obsessed. Right. I was very mentally disturbed about my weight, about fitting in, about trying to have this look that for my very square shaped body was not going to happen. I'm never going to have a tiny waist and larger hips. You know, I have a very athletic build, and I always have. You know, I was a soccer player and a swimmer, and that, you know, that was because my body was built for activities like that. And then I found yoga. And yoga, I mean, yoga was actually one of the things that really brought me out of my mental agitated state and obsession with my body because I started to actually be in my body. And I think that's a point that I want to share is that when you're in your head about your body, you can't help your body. You have to be in your body to help your body. And I don't, you know, for me, yoga was like, as soon as I started practicing yoga, quieting my mind, syncing my breath with movement, and actually feeling my body and what it needed, and like, oh, I've got hunger, I've got satiety. My body really likes these movements. Ouch, that hurts my left hip, right? And starting to become really aware of my physical body. I started to be able to learn what it needed, and I stopped obsessing about it because I realized, oh, it's just a body. It doesn't actually matter that much because it's going to age, it's going to die. You know, the body is a vessel. I mean, I know we hear that and it sounds kind of cliche, but when you actually get into your body and you realize what it actually is and what it isn't, it takes a lot of weight or pressure off from feeling like you have to manage it or get it into a certain type of space. So for some other people, it might not be yoga. It might be dancing. It might be sports. It might be lifting weights, which is sort of my new thing. I still practice yoga, but I started weightlifting, like seriously, weight training. And I don't post photos and stuff of me like weightlifting because I don't know. It's just like my own personal thing. But I am strong. I'm probably stronger now than I've ever been. I have like more muscle definition in my arms and legs. Because I do very mindful lifting. Like I'm a very slow weight lifter and it gets me right in my body. And then when I'm choosing foods, I'm not choosing foods about, well, what's going to keep me skinny? I'm choosing foods about what's going to help me maintain the strength, what's going to keep my immune system strong. So we get out of this sort of idea of, and I have a personal trainer I work with. Hi, Hilda. And have you guys met Hilda? Probably. This is our big rescue dog, and she's been so good for my heart since our Rhea passed. We got her in August, and Rhea passed in March. So, ugh. And emotions, yeah, that certainly has something to do with our bodies too. Okay, but let me go back. So I wanted to say this, that yeah, when we are focused on what we're not on a number or what we want to take away, but what we're adding, that's something that I learned when I was doing my clinical training at the Maryland University of Integrative Health. And we covered nutrition, we did clinical experience with herbs, but one of the things that my teacher James Snow, he was a really great practitioner. He just said, it's always easier. And this is something I think a lot of my herbal teachers said, is it's always easier to add than to take away. And I know that's true for myself. So you can, think about, if you're trying to make changes for your health, and if you're trying to, add vitality to your body, what can you add in? And it's actually very simple. Usually for most of us, it's more movement, more sunlight, and more water. Like, just start there. And food too. Like, add in more vegetables, add in more fresh fruit, add in lean proteins. You can always, the more you add, what happens? This is just natural. This is just the way, we could think about it as like physics. When you add something in, if there's only so much space in the container, then something else will be left out. So if you're adding in more protein, probably you're going to snack less and you're going to have less carbs in your diet. If you're adding in more healthy fats like avocados and olive oil and things like that, other things that you might, again, be putting into your body that are not helpful and that aren't satiating are going to fall away, because with fat and protein, you're going to be so satiated. And that's something that I've really learned over the years, is, how to feed my body for satiety. And sometimes, like when Rhea passed, our dog passed, I definitely reached out to comfort foods. I definitely ate the foods that were good for my emotional body, but I recognized that. Like, I knew this is what I'm doing and I'm going to do it, because give me a little grace, God. Like, I can't eat the perfect diet all the time. Like, today I need mac and cheese or whatever my comfort food. For me, it's often chocolate. Like, I'm going to need a full 50 grams of chocolate today. Like, that, I'm going to gift myself that to help me. But I can't do that every day, because if I did that every day, I would not feel well, and my body would not feel and be the way that I want it to be. So I also, just to circle back to, body image dysmorphia and disordered eating. I don't I want to say that I think it's hard for a lot of people to do that work on their own. I think for me, it really was. It was yoga, doing yoga regularly, and surrounding myself with people who are not obsessed about their bodies and the way their bodies looked, who are interested in, higher ideas, and who were out in nature. And I started studying herbs, and, my world started to grow outside of just myself. And I think that was huge and helpful. And it just was kind of a slow thing for me. I just slowly stopped thinking about food so much and about my body so much. And I just gradually became healthier. But I know that for some people, finding a mental health counselor is going to be probably one of the best things that you can do. So I'm going to put a link to my friend. She goes by the Hardcore Therapist. Her name is Sarah Kretzky. And she works specifically with people with body image and eating disorders. So I'm going to include a link to her, but you might be able to find another therapist that would work with you. But finding someone to talk to about your body and helping you reframe the way you think about your body is helpful. Maybe seeing a nutritionist, if you really struggle with putting together healthy meals for yourself and even knowing where to start, finding someone like a functional medicine, or maybe like an integrated nutritionist, somebody who has studied and really understands whole foods and vital systems of health, that would be a great thing. A lot of herbalists also work with diet and nutrition, so maybe you can find someone there. But don't be afraid to reach out for help, because it's really hard to do this work on your own if you don't have like constant supportive community. You might need to find someone who can work with you one-on-one to help you with the reframing, because a lot of what it is just reframing the way you move through your day and the way you relate to food. I also wanted to talk for a minute about, I talked about protein and fat as being really important, and not eating empty foods like you know, things that are packaged and processed and things that really don't have nutritional value. I also wanted to mention that there's been a lot of studies on psyllium seed and psyllium husk for helping with satiety. And this is something that has been such a great learning for me and my body. And I think is really helpful for a lot of people I've spoken with who've struggled with this is how do you know when you're full? You know, what does satiety look like? And I wanted to read this study. So psyllium is used to increase the subjective feeling of satiety before and between meals in an attempt to reduce caloric, overall total caloric outtake. Intake. I don't know how you outtake food. One study comparing Plantago ovata, which is their psyllium, preparation of 20 grams of the granules with 200 milliliters of water, to water or a placebo preparation found significant fullness in 1 hour after consumption. And this was a study from 1995. Other studies have confirmed a suppressant effect on hunger and increased satiety that remains apparent up to 6 hours after consumption. Psyllium also significantly delays gastric emptying from the third hour after a meal. And that was from a 1992 and a 1997 study. And this is all from a great book called Herbs and Natural Supplements, an Evidence-Based Guide. There are zero pictures. It is all text and clinical trials and research about plants. And I like that. So again, like this idea of like training our minds to know when we're full is such an important part of finding happiness, right? Finding satiety in life. You know, it's like people that have like are shopaholics. Like I really think food and addiction, like there's a lot of similar pathways when we think about any sort of addictive behavior and food. So how do we increase satiety in our bodies can help us increase satiety when it comes to how many shoes we own, or, you know, I don't know how many kids' crafts we buy, right? Like it's all connected. It's all part of recognizing when enough is enough. And I think psyllium as a plant is one plant that can help us start to regulate and start to feel, oh, okay, I feel more satiated. I don't need, you know, I might not need that extra snack. I wanted to put one plant in there. And I also wanted to say this title, I kind of tricked you all because there are no herbs for weight loss. There are not. It is not. Trust me. I tried all of them, you know, through my 20s, you know, when I was doing all my dieting, you know, the master cleanse, I did all of the cleanses. I did all the restrictions. I did all the detoxes. I mean, I you know, bought the books, did the calorie counting. And there are no herbs. There are no diets that I am aware of that I believe will help you find happiness. and there, you know, just like with addiction, you have to find a beacon. You know, you have to find in my life, it was God. It was a spiritual practice. I couldn't say God until I reached about 35 because I didn't, it was too triggering for me because of my Catholic upbringing, which is a whole nother video. But, you know, I mean, for me, finding my true north, yoga helped me to find my true north. And then a lot of my addictive patterns started to work their way out because I realized there was something bigger than me, more intelligent out there, more loving than me that I could yoke myself to, that I could, you know, connect myself to on a daily basis to remind myself to not hate on myself and be mean to myself and judge myself. And that was, you know, I think most 12-step programs, you got to yoke yourself to something bigger. And I think that's how we get to happiness. That's how we free ourselves from addiction. That's how we start to manage the amount of weight that we want to carry in our bodies, right? Like what feels good? What feels like the right amount of weight? And there's no number. It's a feeling. It's an energy. And I do want to say, like, I know in this video, I'm not talking about a lot of the physiological, you know, mechanisms by which obesity can happen and metabolic syndrome, that those are real. I'm not discounting the reality of obesity and I'm not discounting the reality of metabolic syndrome. I'm just saying that two things can be true. And, you know, maybe I'll do another video on those, but today's video, I really wanted to talk more about the framework and the perspective and the view of the body that can help us if we're feeling that our weight is a problem. And that could be in either direction, not enough weight or too much weight. It's all the same conversation. Now let's talk a little bit more about herbs, because I think herbs are an important piece of this conversation. What do we do to help us feel good? And I think, again, the weight will regulate itself when our orientation is focused on health, happiness, wellness. And I would say too, having a spirit of service. And in all the 12-step programs, you know, being of service to others is so important. And I'll never forget, I did an herb walk. I took an herb walk with David Winston, who's an incredible herbalist. And he's of the ancestry, and he studied Cherokee medicine. We were on an herb walk at the Medicines from the Earth conference in Black Mountain, North Carolina. I want to say maybe like 10 or 15 years ago. And he said that in the Cherokee tradition, they view depression, they call it spirit sickness. And the cure among the tribal people for spirit sickness or depression is they'll take that person and they'll connect them with someone who has maybe an elderly person or someone who has special needs. And they'll say, you're going to help this person. And by helping this person, you'll help yourself. You'll get your spirit back. And the way they viewed it was that the spirit is like a flame inside. And again, that's the sparkle I'm talking about in the eyes. That when that flame goes low and the sparkle in the eyes diminishes, one way to get it back is through service, is through helping other people. It could be, you know, working at a soup kitchen. It could be volunteering your time at a library or working with kids, or, you know, for me, doing, you know, herbal-based classes. You know, what is it that gives that you can give of yourself to get your spirit back, to help ignite the flame again? And I love that image. So what are the things you can do to feed the light, to feed the spirit inside? And I wanted to talk about herbs that can help with that, herbs that can help with getting the spirit, you know, bringing and brightening the spirit inside. I love adaptogens for this. You know, I think if everyone listening, if you're on this journey with me, start taking some adaptogens. And it doesn't, you know, you might want to listen to different videos or work with an herbalist to find what are the right adaptogens for you with your constitution, maybe in any symptom pictures you have. But the ones that I generally seem to notice work well in most people are going to be American ginseng. It's very, very sweet and soothing and grounding, and it's very good at normalizing stress response function. I also really like ashwagandha is a really nice one, especially if you have sleep disturbances. Another adaptogen that is really beautiful is reishi mushroom. It's really good for brightening the shen in Chinese medicine, or the sparkle in the eye and the heart. Really opens up and works on grief and healing the heart space. Shasandra is a really great one if you're looking for building endurance. Like if you want to start running, like if maybe it's been a while since you've done cardiovascular exercise, Shasandra and Eleuthero are two adaptogens that have been studied extensively with helping with endurance, especially long distance running or just building your stamina up. Maybe if you've had a chronic illness and you've been, you know, you haven't been able to exercise, try taking one of these adaptogens to help increase oxygen in the blood. It'll give you more energy and more endurance. Another class of herbs are nervines. Think about, how does your spirit feel? What is your emotional body feeling like? And if you tend to be more of a depressive type, consider taking nervines that are going to be uplifting. I just did an interview with Mason Hutchinson of Herb Rally, and he was saying for him, he really likes hawthorn. He really likes lemon balm. Another herb that's really good for the depressive type of energy is mimosa, either the bark or the flower or both. Those are all very spirit uplifting herbs. And that's so important for overall health. And then if you tend to be more on the anxious side and you want to bring your energy down, you know, maybe some more of the calming nervines like skullcap. I did a video on that for my Herb of the Month series. What's another calming one? Passion flower, some people find to be calming. I haven't had great success with it, but you might. If you tend to run really cold, valerian can be very, very calming for the mind. But if you run hot, don't take valerian. Other ones that are really good as nervines for the mind that are on the more kind of calming, less anxiety producing side might be lion's mane. is an adaptogen and it's an herbivore. So you can feed two birds with one hand, which is always great. And yeah, I think those are like the two classes that you can think about. Like, how do you modulate your own unique nervous system and stress response to come to an even place so that you can not be living from a place of stagnation or a place of overexcitation and start to get your nervous system in a more regulated place? And that will help you. That'll help you navigate all the choices you have to make in a given day. And I think, again, that is the key to overall health is, in the moment, if you've been making choices that have been continuing to lead you away from health, you know, oh, I could go for a walk, but I'm going to sit and do this thing on the computer or my phone, right? Or I could cook some vegetables. Ah, it's too much work. I'm going to just heat this thing up in the microwave, right? Like, it's those small choices that add up over time. And so if you can catch yourself in the moment of that crossroads, right? And in that moment, you can say, I'm just going to take a 15-minute walk. I'm going to put the phone down. I'm going to just walk and listen to nature. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. or you know what? I'm going to stop working a little bit earlier so I can prepare myself a nice lunch. I'm not going to give myself 5 minutes to eat. I'm going to give myself 30 minutes. I'm going to pack my lunch and bring it to work so I have something healthy and I don't have to eat whatever's, you know, in the vending machine. It's the small choices that over time will create lasting health. And I can't tell you this enough, because to me, I spent so many years going back and forth, the yo-yo of thinking I had to punish myself, that I had to, you know, it was all or nothing. And now that I've reached this ripe middle age, I can tell you it's just not true. It's just not how it works. It's about being loving, kind, generous with yourself. It's giving yourself breaks to do the right thing for your body, for your mind, for your heart, and finding ways to stay continually yoked or connected to something bigger than yourself. All of those are going to help you find the optimal state of health that you're looking for. So I hope this is helpful. If there's anything that you want to add to the conversation, I would love to hear from you. And yeah, I appreciate all of you guys, everyone who listens and everyone who offers their feedback and hits the like button. And I'll be back next week. So I will see you all then. Thank you.